Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Dalet. We're learning today Li'ili Nishmas, Merle Wagman, Moshe ben Noach, and also Bernard Lifshitz. All the Nishams we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we're going to pick up the Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, six lines from the top of the Amud. We had learned yesterday that the Pasuk, the Yotzo Chinom Ein Kosef, was one of the sources that we were using to learn out that the Kesef Kiddushin goes, in fact, to the father of the girl, and we learned this out through the various drushes that we explained yesterday shir. The Gemara is now going to question, how could we use that Pasuk, the Yotzo Chinom Ein Kosef, to teach us that drusha that the Kesef Kiddushin goes to the father of the girl when he marries off his daughter, who's either a ketana or a nara? We need the pasuk for something else. So the Gemara again picks up six lines from the top of Dalet Amud Aleph with the words, V'hai v'yotzo chinam l'hoch yudyotzo homoboyele l'chedetanya. How can you tell me we need it for that drusha that we just said? We need it for the following drusha, which we learned in the following brisa, the Tanya. We learned in the following brisa, the pasuk v'yotzo chinam ein kosef, that comes to teach us the v'yotzo chinam Elu Yemei Bagrus. Ein Kosef, Elu Yemei Naris. This comes to teach us that a girl who's given over as an Omoho Ivriya, that's what the possible Yotzo Chinom Ein Kosef is talking about in the context of a man who unfortunately cannot really afford to take care of his daughter. So he would go and give her to someone to hopefully marry her, or that person's son to hopefully marry her as an Omoho Ivriya. And that process really is known as Yiyud, where she would be designated, so to say, to become either his wife or his son's wife, and the dowry or the money that she would be bringing in would be, so to say, the years that she worked, and hopefully everything will work out well. But if it doesn't, they don't wish to marry her, neither the new Baal or the Baal's son that she was given over to be in Omoh Hivriya for, so then she goes free when she reaches a certain age. So the Pasuk tells us that the words V'yotzo Chinam comes to tell us that when she reaches the age of Bagrus, which is 12 and a half years old, after the 6 month Nara period of time, so then she will go free. And then it tells us the word Ein Kosef comes to tell us she goes free when she reaches the Nara period of time, as soon as she's no longer a Ketana, she reaches 12 years of age, so then she goes free when she becomes a Nara. Now, the obvious question that the Gemara says is, why do you need both? If she goes free when she's 12, so of course she's free when she's 12 and a half. How could you ever have her when she's 12 and a half? The Gemara will address that momentarily, but first, the Gemara tells us what Ravina says. On Ravina, Ravina explains that there is no problem over here in learning out this drasha of Yotzo Chinom Elumei Magros and Kosef Elumei Naros, and also the din that the father gets the Kesef Kiddushin in this situation, because the word Ein is spelled with a Yud. Yotzo Chinom Ein Kosef has a yud in it. The word ein has a yud in it, and as we'll see, the word ein normally doesn't have to have a yud in it, and therefore this extra yud is how he learns the drasha. So that's what Ravina tells us, that the extra yud, im kain, if it only wanted to teach us the din that the woman goes free when she becomes a naira, so then le makro ein kosef without the yud. My ein kosef with the yud. Ein kesef liodon zeh. That's the second drasha. The first drasha without the yud, so that teaches us this din, that she goes free when she's in Nara. And by the fact that the Torah added this yud, which we'll see is unnecessary, the word ein can be spelled without the yud. So the extra yud comes to teach us this second drasha, that the father gets the kesef kiddushin, because the Baal gets no money when the girl goes out as a Nara. That implies that he doesn't get money, but in another situation, i.e. with the Kesef Kiddushin, the father indeed does get that money. So that's how Ravina explains. We could have both drushas learn that from the Pasuk, Yotzo Chinom Ein Kosef. Now we have to address the obvious questions. Number one, where do we get this idea that you can learn out this drasha from the extra yud in the word Ein Kosef? Umimai didarshin on hachi. How do we know that you can darsh it that way? So the Gemara is going to bring us another case where the yud is darshin. Now, the Pasuk tells us, Netanya, in regards to a Kohen's daughter. Kohen's daughter gets married to Yisrael, so she's no longer able to eat truma. But then, if unfortunately her husband dies or he divorces her, and she has no children, or as we'll see, any descendants from him, no grandchildren or any other descendants from him, Vizera Ein La, again, the word Ein is spelled with a Yud, Vizera Ein La, so then she returns to Beis Avia, Kinurea Beis Avia. So she gets to go back to her father's house and eat Truma again. Now, that's only if she doesn't have any zera. En li ela zara. That would imply only if she didn't have children herself, a boy or a girl herself. But how do we know that zera zara minayin? How do we know that the same thing applies? Let's say, Rechmona Lefsan, she had had children, but the children died, but she still has grandchildren from them. How do we know that that also prevents her from going back to her father's house, Kinurea Bei Savia, and she no longer would be allowed to eat truma if she has children from the Yisrael, or if she even has grandchildren only from this Yisrael? Her children died, but she still has grandchildren that are alive, or great-grandchildren that are alive. How do we know Zera Zara Minayin? Talmud Lomar, Zera Ein Law, and the Yud there tells us Ayin Law. Go and look into it. Go and investigate. That extra yud is teaching us a drush over here that you have to go and investigate. Not enough that she doesn't have children, but you have to go investigate that she doesn't have any grandchildren. If she has any descendants, so then she would not be allowed to go return to her father's house and eat truma. The Brisa continues and says, "Ainli elo zera kasha." That would only be, I would think, that if it was a zera kasha, she had legitimate children and she had legitimate grandchildren from this Kohen. In other words, everybody was fully married, a regular full marriage. How do we know Zera Pasul Minayin? How do we know that even if she has Zera that is Pasul? For example, there was, let's say she had a child, and the child had a child that was Pasul in some way, out of wedlock or through a non-halachically binding marriage. So Talmud Lomar, Zera Ein Law, again, the extra yud teaches us Ayin Law. You have to go and investigate to see, are there any children, legitimate or illegitimate? So Gemara says, but then wait a second, you're using this yud to teach us two things. Number one, you're teaching us zera, zara, grandchildren, and then you're telling us that even possible children or grandchildren would go and not allow her to return to Beis Avia. So Gemara says, Va'afikte lezera zara. We needed the yud to teach us zera zara. How can you also teach us that zera apostle? So Gemara says, no, because zera zara, technically, lo itzrich ko. You didn't need apostle for grandchildren because we have the famous rule, Dibnei bonim harei heim ki bonim. Because grandchildren are like children. And therefore, when it says vizera ein la, even without the yud, I would know that she doesn't have any children or grandchildren. Therefore, I can use the extra yud, ki itzrich ko, Lizera Apostle. Therefore, that Yud can come to teach us Zera Apostle. So here we see in this Brisa that we darshan the extra Yud. And the Gemara asked the obvious question, that, well, how do we know we could do that from this Brisa? Just because you showed us another Brisa where they did it, and now we have our Brisa, V'yotzochinom Ein Kosev, so we have two places where there's an extra Yud. So how do we know that you darshan this extra Yud in either of those two places? The Tana Gufei, Minole Dedor Shachi, this Tana that we just brought down from a Zera Ein Law, where did he get the idea that you can darshan this extra Yud? Isn't that the way the word is spelled? And you can't darshan it. So the Gemara says, no, it's not the way the word is spelled. Amre, because we would say the pasuk that says, Kisiv me'ein bilom. This is a pasuk that tells us, me'ein bilom haloch imonu, that Bilom didn't want to come. The brought back the report to the melech of Midian and Moab that Bilom had refused to come back. Me'ein bilom. And there it's spelled without a yud. Likewise, it says, Umi'ein yivami. We have another pasuk that tells us, Me'ein yivami lohakim liochiv shem b'Yisrael. This pasuk teaches us that the woman comes to the basin and says, he doesn't want to do yibum with me. Me'ein yivami. He refuses to do yibum with me. And there, the word me'ein is also spelled without a yud. So therefore, in both of these scenarios, me'ein biloh, me'ein yivami, the lohakisiv b'hu yud. So we see that the default spelling of the word ein is without a yud. And therefore, in our case, v'yotzochinom ein kosev, and v'zera ein law, v'hochok siv be yud, both of these cases have the yud, sh'maminot, l'drosho hu diosa. So that's where the Tana of this Brisa, v'zera ein law, got it from, and that's where the Tana of our Brisa tells us that we can darshan out from the extra yud, both droshos. We can darshan out v'yotzochinom ein kosev, we can darshan out that she goes free when she reaches Nara status, and likewise, that she also, the Kesef Kiddushin, goes to her father and not to her. Okay, so now we've explained the drasha. We can go back and address something that we learned in yesterday's shir with this drasha. So now, in yesterday's shir, we said that the father has the rights to the girl's Kiddushin from the Yotzochinom Ein Kosef. And we also said, however, that the father has the right to go and eat the Maisi Yadeh of his daughter from the pasuk v'chiin kor ish es bito liyama lo seisei kitzeisu avadim, and we learned out that he has the rights to a ma'aseh yadav from that pasuk. So why do we need both? Why do we need one pasuk to tell us that the father is entitled to the kesef kiddushin of his daughter, and a separate pasuk to tell us that he's entitled to the handiwork of his daughter? Why can't we learn one from the other? Why do we need both? So Gemara says, "V'itzrich lemichtav kiddusha le'aviyah, v'itzrich lemichtav ma'aseh de le'aviyah." We need both psukim because you can't learn one from the other. Because the kasev rachmona kiddusha le'aviyah. If we only have the pasuk yotzach, you know, I mean kasev that the father gets the kesef kiddushin. So I wouldn't learn from there that he also gets her handiwork, because havamina, I would have said mishum delo tarcha behu, the father gets the kesef kiddushin because there was no work involved for it, so therefore no loss to her. However, abu ma'aseh adel, her handiwork, she spent a lot of time to do that handiwork, and therefore one might have thought that she should be entitled to. Therefore, emo dida havu. Therefore, you need to have the pasuk telling us v'chiim kar ish as be told yomar to tell her that the father has the right to a daughter's handiwork. No, just tell us that pasuk. V'yashmina ma'aseh adel, just tell me that pasuk. Why wouldn't I know the kesef kiddushin also goes to her? Because the ka mizana mine. Because the reason why the handiwork goes to the father is because the father's supporting her. So it's like a quid pro quo relationship. And therefore, we understand the father's supporting her, so he's entitled to the handiwork. However, avo kiddushel, the kesef kiddushin, to me, alma ka'asi law, that comes to the father through no work of his own, so therefore, Emo dido havu. Maybe the kesef kiddushin should go to her, and therefore, yotzach yinam in kosev is necessary tzricha. Therefore, we need both psukim to teach us both of these ideas. So that ties up in a nice little bow the shir from yesterday with now the drasha today. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to the basic question that I asked before, gufa. We brought down in the Braisa of Yotzach Hinam teaches us Elumi Bagris, that she goes out when she's a Bogeris at the age of 12 and a half, and Ein Kosev teaches us she goes out when she's 12, Elumi Naris. Of course, it's the obvious question. If she's going out when she's 12, why do I need a pasuk to tell me she goes out when she's 12 and a half? The Lichtav Rachmana and Naris, just tell me that she goes out when she's a Nara, so just write Ein Kosev, and I'll know she goes out when she's a Nara. Why do I need the words of Yotzach Hinam? Lo Bai Bagris, of course she goes out at 12 and a half if she goes out at 12. So Rabba tells us a very important idea. Omer Rabba, bozeh v'limeid alzeh. That if we only had one of the words, we only had the yotzach chinam, or we only had ein kosef, I would use that to teach us that she goes out as a bogeres, but I wouldn't know that she goes out as a nara. And therefore, when you have both, when you have bozeh v'limeid alzeh, by having the words that she goes out when she's a bogeres, and then an extra pasuk telling me that she also goes out when she's a nara, if I only had one pasuk, I would say she just goes out when she's a bogeres. So you need both to teach us the din, even though you're right, if she goes out as a nara, she'll never have to be told that she goes out as a bogeres, but the only way you know that she goes out as a nara by telling us that she goes out as a bogeres, no, she even goes out as a nara. And we see, Rabba says, a similar idea in regards to a din. When a kohen takes in an eved ivri, he takes him in for the first 6 years, and then he takes him in for a longer period of time, and the eved ivri says, I don't want to leave, and he wants to stay until the yovel, is what's called a nirtza. So this is referred to as a toshav and a sachir. The toshav is the eved ivri that is staying there for a while. He's going to stay there till the yovel, and the sachir is the one who stays there for just 6 years. So the tanya, we learn the braisa, we learn in the Braisa of the Tanya. The word Toshav is Zeh Konoi Kinyan Olam. The Pasuk tells us, Lo Yochal Kodesh. Toshav Kohen V'Sachir Lo Yochal Kodesh. So the Pasuk tells us that just because you're an Eved Ivri for a Kohen doesn't mean you're entitled to eat Truma. So the word Toshav tells us that if you're an Eved Ivri that's going to be there as a Nirtza until the Yovel, you also cannot go and eat Truma. Toshav Zeh Kinoi Konoi Kinyan Olam. That tells us that he can't eat the truma of the kohen. And sachir is the one who's there for just 6 years, zeh kanui kinyan shanim. So both of them aren't allowed to eat truma. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Yomar Toshav, just tell me that the Eved Ivri, who's there till the Yovel, can't eat the truma, and I'll know it. Below Yomar Sachir, you don't have to tell me Sachir, because I would say, for sure, omer so kanui kinyan shanim, if the Eved Ivri, who's there for a long, extended period of time, up until the Yovel, even he's not considered Kinyan Kaspo of the Kohen, and therefore cannot eat Truma. Paradoxically, the Eved Kanan, he can, because he's considered Kinyan Kaspo. But the Eved Ivri is not ever owned by the master. He is essentially an indentured worker to the master, but he's not owned by the master, so he's not considered Kinyan Kaspo. So if the Eved Ivri, who's there until the Yovel, which is a long period of time potentially, is not allowed to eat truma. So certainly the Sacher, who's only there for 6 years, certainly is not allowed to eat truma. So what do you need to tell me? A special pasuk that both the Toshav and the Sacher can't eat truma if they're owned by a Kohen. So the boy says, because Ilu Kain, if what you're saying is correct, we'd only written one of them. Hayisi Omer Toshav Zekonui Kinyan Shanim. I would have said that the Toshav, if the pasuk said Toshav, I would have said that's only referring to the Eved Ivri, who's there for 6 years. But in fact, Avo Konui, Kinyan Olam, the one that's there until the Yovel, the Nirtza Eved Ivri, in fact, Ochel, if you only had one pasuk, either Toshav or Sacher, I would have said that applies to the Eved Ivri for 6 years, but not to the Eved Ivri for the Yovel. So therefore, you need the second pasuk, Bas Sacher, the Limit al Toshav. The word Sacher now comes to teach us about Toshav. She'alfa bishu koni kinyan olam, eno ochel. And therefore, we need one pasuk to tell us first, yes, an Eved Ivri for 6 years cannot go and eat truma. And then you need the second pasuk to tell us that even an Eved Ivri who's going to be there for the olam is not allowed to eat from truma. So therefore, you need both. The second teaches us about the first, and that's the same idea that we have over here with the Nara and the Bulgaris. The second one teaches about the first. So that's Rabba's answer. Abaye questions this. Amalei Abaye says, wait a second, me dami, those cases aren't comparable, because in the case of the Toshav and the Sachir, it's two different people. It's not the same person. Me dami, that's not comparable to the same girl who's a Nara, and then she's a Bulgaris. Hasam, in the case of the Toshav and the Sacher, Trey Gufe Ninu. They're two separate people. One is an Eved Ivri who's there for 6 years, and the other is an Eved Ivri who's there till the Yovel. Two separate people. The Chinami Kosarachmona Toshav Nirtza Lo Yochal Vahad Kosav Idar. Even though you're telling me over here that you have the din applying to a Toshav who's a Sacher for 6 years, and then you have an extra pasuk telling me that it also applies to the Eved Ivri who's there till the Yovel. Nevertheless, have a Sacher Milso the Osyo of Kavah Chomer. You could have learned this out from the Kavah Chomer, as you said, because if the Eved who's there, the Olam, can't eat Truma, so certainly the Eved Ivri who's only there for 6 years can't eat Truma. But nevertheless, Milso the Osyo of Kavah Chomer, Torah of the Kosov Lakra. We sometimes find that even though there was a Kavah Chomer, the Torah, for whatever the reason, will go and write it out in the Pasuk, and it will trouble itself, so to say, to write out this din that could have been learned from a Kavah Chomer, and it learns it out from a restating in the pasuk. Fine. So that's true when you have two separate entities. The Toshav is one person, the Sacher is a different person. However, here in our case, Yotzochinom and Kosef, Elohacha, Chad Gufahi, it's the same girl. When she hits 12, she's free. So how can you ever tell me that when she hits 12 and a half, she's also free? Kinaf Kalo Benaris, once she goes out when she's 12, Bakrus, my boy Gabe, how could she ever be by him at 12 and a half that you would ever have this case coming up that a girl goes free when she's a Bogeris? She automatically went free when she's a Nara. That same girl, therefore, can never be a Bogeris. By the Toshav and the Sacher, so you could have a person that was a Sacher, and you could have a separate person that's a Toshav. So it could be two separate people. Therefore, we need both Psukim. Because even though you could learn that from a Kavah Chomer, the Torah troubled itself to tell us the din. But here, there never could be a case where a girl is a Bogeres, but that wasn't that same girl, wasn't the Nara. So Bagrus, my boy Gabe, why do you have to tell us this? So therefore, Abaye doesn't like Rabba's reasoning, but he accepts the general idea that the Pasuk Yosochidom in Kosov comes to teach me a Nara and a Bogeres, and he learns it out as follows. El Amar Abaye, lo nitzucho ella lebeger the island is. He says, yes, there is a type of Bogeris that doesn't go out when she's a Nara, because she never is a Nara, and that's a girl who's an Islaness. An Islaness is a girl that unfortunately never matures. She doesn't have the physical characteristics of being a grown woman. There's some abnormality, hormonal abnormality, some other genetic abnormality, whatever the situation is, she never has physical maturity. So therefore, when she demonstrates the signs of being an islandess, there are certain characteristics about her skin, about her secondary sexual characteristics, etc. So when she becomes an islandess, halachically an islandess, so then she goes straight from being a ketana to being a gedola, a bogeres islandess. So she skips that Nara stage. So Abaye tells us that we need the pasuk Yotzochinom Ein Kosef to teach me that a regular Nara, but also a Bogeris who skipped the Nara stage, and such as an islandess who went straight from a Ketana to a Gedola, so she also goes free when she demonstrates those simonim of an islandess. she goes free as a bogeres, even though she never had a nara stage. And that's why you need the pasuk telling me Yotzoch Hinom tells me a bogeres, because the bogeres island is, and Ein Kasif comes to tell me a regular case of a nara. Because I would have said, so could I tell if I would have thought on my own, that if it didn't tell me both, only Benaris Tepuk, Bebagwas Lo Tepuk, that a girl who never had Naris stage, in fact, doesn't go free. This islandess would stay there forever. So therefore, Kamash Malon, that's not true. That's why you need the Pasi Yotzoch Hinom in Kosef. Abaye explains why it's not automatic that if you go free at 12, you certainly go free at 12 and a half. No, there's some girls that don't go free at 12 because they don't have Simone Naris. However, this, what seems to be a very nice explanation by Abaye, is questioned by Marba Ravashi. Maskva Marba Ravashi. Marba Ravashi says, V'lav kavachomer. This is still be a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uma simonim she'ein motziim mirishus av simonim narus, that don't say that she goes out of her father's jurisdiction, her father's domain entirely, because a nara still could be married off by the father. A nara, her nedarim, are still nafered by the father. She is a gedola in the sense that she can accept her own kiddushin. She is a gedola that she now has da'a. She's mechuyevus in mitzvos, but she doesn't leave her father's rishus yet. So even though she has simonim of naros, umas simonim she'ein motzim rishus av, nevertheless, motzim rishus adon, those simonim of naros would entitle her to go leave the master if she was in omoho evriya. So certainly, bagrus, shemotziyam rishus av, when a girl reaches bagrus, she reaches the stage of being a bogeris. So then she is totally removed from her father's domain. Father can no longer marry her off. The father can no longer be made for a nedarim. She's a full-fledged gedola under her own domain, no longer under the domain of her father. So if Bagris takes her out of the shus of the father, so certainly, kavachomer, ain't odin shemotziyam rishus adon. Certainly, you should take her out of the shus of the other. So why do I need a separate pasuk telling me even about the bogeris islandess? Certainly, a bogeris who leaves her father's rishus certainly should leave the adon's rishus, because if a nara leaves the adon's rishus, even though she doesn't leave the father's rishus, so a bogeris should certainly leave the adon's rishus because she leaves the father's rishus. So this kavachomer should make the drasha of a yotzoch hinom to teach me about a bogeris island. It's unnecessary. So therefore, Mar bar Rav Ashi says this is the way you have to darshan in the pasuk. El Amar Mar bar Rav Ashi lo nitzucha. You need the pasuk yotzoch hinom to teach us that a bogeris goes free. Elo liikar zvina the islandess. That's to tell us that the original giving over of this girl, who subsequently an islandess, as an Amo Hevriya, was in fact a valid giving over. Because I would have said, so could I de Chaminach, the Asio Simoni Naris have a Zvina. The Lo Asio Simoni Naris, Lo have a Zvina, Zvina. I would have said that you might have thought that a girl who ultimately will be a Nara, so she can go and be an Amo Hevriya, because she'll have an opportunity to go out when she becomes a Nara. So therefore, the initial giving over of this girl as an Amo Hevriya takes effect. But a girl that won't have Simoni Naris, I might have thought, Lo Havi Zvina Zvina, that original giving over as an Amo Hevriya maybe doesn't take effect. If you don't have Naris, so maybe you can't be included in the din of Amo Hevriya. We turn to Dalai Lama Beis, therefore, Kamash Malad, Marba Ravashi says, though, you need V'yotzoch Hinom V'chuli to tell us that din, that in fact, even though she never had a stage of Naris, there could be giving over as an Amo Hevriya, and therefore, that's why it has to tell us both Bagrus and Naris. Okay, that Baruch Hashem explains the drasha. Nagvar continues, according to what we just said, Ulamar Baravashi Diomar, the Lav Kavachomer, who we could learn it out from a Kavachomer, that if she goes free as a Naris, she certainly goes free as a Bogeris. That's why he needed the Pasuk to tell us, no, it just teaches that she's in the din. A Bogeris islandess is in the din of Amo Avriya. So, Ha'amrina Milso Da'asi B'Kavachomer, Torah V'Kosav L'Kra. Why didn't he just say that the Torah wrote down over here what could have been learned from a kavachomer? Why do you have to go give his whole explanation of bogeris islandess is included in the din of Amo Hevriya? Why not just say, yes, you're right, it was a kavachomer, but sometimes the Torah troubles itself to write something which we can learn from a kavachomer. If she goes free as a nara, she certainly goes free as a bogeris. Why couldn't that just be learned as a kavachomer and the Torah wrote it anyway? So Gemara says, because Mara Ravashi would say, we only say Torah because of Lakra, Hani Mili Hecho Deleko L'Shanuyik, when there's no answer. So then we'll say, oh, we have no answer. But here, we do have a teres, we do have a reason why the Torah wrote it, so therefore we don't just say Torah because of Lakra when we have an answer and explain it the way Mara Ravashi did. Okay, now the Gemara says, We learned previously, Yotzah Chinam Ein Kasev comes to teach us that the Kesev Kiddushin goes to the father. And that was how we learned out that Kesev Kiddushin is one of the ways that a woman can be, in fact, married. But here we have another way to darshan it out, that Kesev Kiddushin is a way for a woman to get married, because we learn the following brayse of the Tanya. It says, Ki kach ish isha uba'ala, a man takes a wife, v'ayo imlo sim tzolchein b'enav, ki matzav ava gomer. Unfortunately, the marriage doesn't work out, and he wants to divorce her, so he's allowed to. Now, it uses the lashon over here, ki yikach ish isha, and ein kicha ela b'kesef. And we know the word kicha, we had this drasha very at the beginning, which Rashi had already pointed out, that was there brought just as an aside, and that's why we're really relearning it again. So we had the lashon of kicha, ki yikach ish isha, and it says by Ephron, v'chein u'omer, nosati kesef asode kach mimeni. Avram told Ephron, here's the money, go and take the money from me. So therefore, the kicha was the way to learn it out. So the Gemara questions this and says, "Velo dinu, this should be a kal v'chomer. Uma amahavriya she'eno niknes bebiya. We should have just learned it out straight from our drasha of the yotzo chinam and kasev. Why do you need this other drasha over here of kicha? Because after all, should be a kal v'chomer. Uma amahavriya when the father gives over his daughter for yield purposes as an amahavriya." She'eino niknes bevia. You can't acquire the young girl as an arm of ria via bia. It's only niknes bekesef. It's only taking the money, which will be the money for the kiddushin over here if they get married. So niknes bekesef. So zusha niknes bevia. Eino din shetikne bekesef. Certainly then, a woman who is able to be married via bia, so certainly if she can be married via bia, you certainly should be able to be married via kesef, because the arm of ria who can't be married via bia is nevertheless nikness bekesef. So certainly a woman who can be acquired by bia certainly should be nikness bekesef. So therefore we have this kal v'chomer. What do we need the pasuk of kicha from stay Ephron? So the Gemara says yevama tocher, because we have a problem with that drasha. That kal v'chomer doesn't work, because by yevama she can be acquired with bia, but cannot be acquired with money. The mimer that he does is not a real valid kiddush on a deraisa level. So yevama tochia, because sheniknes bebia, the yevama is acquired only via bia. The eino niknes kikesef. There's no deraisa way for the yavam to give her money and to acquire her with kesef kiddushin. Granted, we said mimer midrabanan. We do that, but that's a din derabanan, because it's just not proper to go straight into the relationship with bia. So we make it into something that's more tsonua by giving kesef. But that's not a real din daraisa. And therefore, the yavama situation, sheniknes bebia, ve'eno niknes bekesef, slugs up this kal v'chomer that we just said. Gemara says, no, yavama is different. Mali yavama, shekein ein niknes bishtar. Yavama can't be niknes bishtar also. So tomar bezusha niknes bishtar, and therefore, a regular case of marriage, the girl could be married with a shtar, and therefore that's why you can't use yavama over here, and therefore our original kal v'chomer is a good kal v'chomer, and therefore the Gemara now says something enigmatic. It says tamar lomer kiyachish. That's why we need the pasuk kiyachish. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? We just said you don't need the pasuk kiyachish. Ha lomer likra. We don't need that pasuk. Ha asyala. We have the kal v'chomer that we just said. Valo dinhu uma amar ivriyah she'enu niknes bebia niknes bekesef zusha niknes bebia eino din shetikane bekesef. So therefore, we don't need the pasuk kiyachish. What are you telling me that we need the pasuk kiyachish? Kicha, kicha, mistay Ephron. We don't need that. So Rav Ashi says, no, we do need it. Because mishum de'iko le'meimar me'ikara de'dina pircha. Because we could slug up the original kal v'chomer that says if she can be taken with bia, then she certainly should be able to be taken with kesef kiddushin. We can slug that up. Why is that? Because mishum de'iko le'meimar me'ikara de'dina pircha. Me'heicha ka ma'isis lo. Where do we learn out that din, that the kesef should work for kiddushin? Me'amo ha'evriya. That's actually learned out from amo ha'evriya. Now, when we have that pasuk by Amo Hevriya that the kesef kiddushin goes to the father, so Malu Amo Hevriya shekein yotza bekesef, she goes out of that marriage with kesef. Now, she could be paid off. Let's say she's supposed to work for 6 years. She starts off working with 4, so she's only going to be 10 at the end of 6 years. She doesn't have Simani Naras, but the father then wins the lottery. So the father goes and buys his daughter back. He says, if you're not going to marry her, your son's not going to marry, he tells the other. He said, I'm buying her back. That's called Giron Kesef. You pay off the prorated amount that's left, and you can buy her back. So her freedom could be acquired with money. So Mali Amavriya Shekein Yotza Bekesef, if in fact
the father is able to go and pay off the remaining years that she has left to work, prorated, so then she does go free. So you can't do that. Tomar Bezesh, Ena Yosef Kesef. A woman can't give the husband $1,000 and say, I'll buy myself out of this marriage. No, the husband has to divorce her. So there is no going out with money, even though the husband can, of course, make it tonight. I'll divorce you if you give me money, but that's not, she's not getting divorced with the money. She's getting divorced through the get. Only the get can divorce her. And therefore, in this situation, there's a problem with our Kal Vachomer, because the woman who's an Amo of Ria, so she goes free with Kesef, but a woman who's married can't go free with Kesef. And therefore, we wouldn't say that that's a good Kal Vachomer, and therefore, Talmud Lomer, ki ikach ish. We do need the Pasuk of kicha miste Ephraim. Now, we need both, actually. V'yitzrich l'michtav yotzo chinam, to teach us that the Kesef Kiddushin works in that situation. V'yitzrich l'michtav ki kach ish. And we need to teach us that the Kesef Kiddushin works in that situation. Why couldn't we learn one from the other? Because if we only wrote one of them, the I, kasa rachmona ki yikach, we only have the pasuk with kicha kicha mistei ephron, hava amino kiddushin di yav lo baal di da havu. I would have said that the Kiddushin that the Nara gets belongs to her. She should be entitled to get it. So therefore, Kasef Rechmona Yotzei Chinam, to tell us that the Kiddushin goes to her father. The Kesef Kiddushin goes to her father. No, so just tell me that. Kasef Rechmona Yotzei Chinam, I would have said, Havamina Hechad Yova Le'ihi L'Didei V'Kidashto. I would have said that no matter how the money is going, from the husband to the wife, or even from the wife to the husband, have a Kiddushin. If I only had the Pasuk that Kesef works by Kiddushin, I would have said, it works either way. A woman can be Makadish a man with Kesef, just like a man can be Makadish a woman with Kesef. So therefore, you need the second pasuk, Kasa Rechmona, ki yikach, below ki sikach. It tells us that the only way the Kesef Kedushin works is from the husband to the wife, but not from the wife to the husband. So therefore, we need all the psukim. Now we go back to the darshan out. How do we know that a woman can be mukudeshes not only with kesef, that's how we spend a lot of the shiur so far, but also bibia, kesef shtar ubia. So how do we know that a woman can be mukudeshes with bia? So the pasuk tells us ubia Allah, the pasuk that we just brought down a moment ago, ki yikach ish isha ubia Allah, and she has relations with him. So that comes to teach us malami she niknes with bia, that she could in fact be niknes with bia. Again, Rav Mangit, Rav would give lashes to somebody who did this, but it does work on a deraisa level. And the Gemara says, this is a Kal Vachomer. We should not need the pasuk of Allah. Follow Dinu. Uma Yavama, she'ein niknes b'kesef, nevertheless niknes b'via, a Yavama who is acquired only via Bia, not via Kesef, but that Bia is a valid way for her to become the wife of the Yavam. So Zu, she'niknes b'kesef, certainly a girl that can get Kesef for Kiddushin, so certainly Einodin Shiniknes Bibia. If Kesef, which doesn't work by Yavama, nevertheless Bia works by Yavama, so Kesef, which works by a regular woman, so certainly Bia should work by a regular woman as well. So therefore we have a Kal Vachomer. So Gemara says, no, we slug up this Kal Vachomer, Amo of Ria Tochiach, because we have the case of the Amo of Ria. What's the case of the Amo of Ria again? Shiniknes with Kesef, she is acquired through Kesef, however, the Einiknes Bibia, but you can't give over your Amo of Ria. Husband, father can't give over the daughter to the Baal for relation purposes to marry her off. So therefore, we see that relations doesn't work by an Amo Avriya. Therefore, you can't bring me a Kal Vachomer from Yibam. And the Gemara says, no, you could. Mali Amo Avriya she'en kinyana l'shum ishus. When you give over the money there, it's not automatically for the sake of marriage. It's for the sake of servitude, albeit it can be eventually used for marriage. So that isn't automatically l'shem ishus. So tomar bezu shekinyana l'shem ishus. But the woman who's being married over here, so it's solely for the purposes of marriage. It's not for the purposes of servitude. So mal omar v'yosh she'en kinyana l'shem ishus. Tomar bezu shekinyana l'shem ishus. So therefore, we've schlugged up this raya from the omar v'ria, and therefore we are left with, we have a good kal v'chomer. And then the Gemara says again, the enigmatic statement, Tam alone with Bala. No, that's why we need the Paz B'Ola. The Gemara says the obvious question. The Lama Likra, Ha'as Yolah. We just proved that you don't need the Pasuk. You could learn it out from the Kal Vachomer. Umay Yavam Hashem Niknes B'Kesef, Niknes B'Biyah, Zushi Niknes B'Kesef, Einodin She Niknes B'Biyah. So we just said that that's a perfectly good Kal Vachomer. We couldn't slug it up. So why do you need a Pasuk B'Ola? So the Gemara says, no. Mishum Dina Pirchav. No, because this Kal Vachomer doesn't get off the ground from step one, Meikara Pircha. Why is that? Meheicha komaisis lo. Where do we learn out this kavu chomer from? Miyavama, from the case of the Yavama. Just like the Yavama, who can't be married with kesef kiddushin, nevertheless is married with bia, so too, a woman who could be married with kesef kiddushin certainly could be married with bia. So we learned that from Yavama. But ma li Yavama, shekein zukuka v'yomedes. The Yavama just didn't happen by chance. She was married to her first husband. Nebuch, he died with no children. And she fell to the brother in Yibam. So the brother, the Yavam, Mali Yavama, shekein zukuka v'yomedes. She is basically attached to him. Zukuka v'yomedes. So she is attached to this Yavam, and that, and only for that reason, is why Yibam, by relations, is able to marry her to the Yavam. So therefore, you can only say that by the Yavama, shekein zukuka v'yomedes. Tomar, could you say that for a regular woman? Bezusha ain't a zukuka v'yomedes? That bia should work automatically for a regular woman who's not zukuka v'yomedes? No, you can't. So we've slugged up that kal v'chomer. And therefore, Ravashi says, no, we need the pasuk, kamud lomar uva Allah. We do need that pasuk to tell us that that is the source that a woman can be married via bia. This is a great break point, because as we turn to Hey Omud Aleph, we're going to now, we've darshened out kesef, we've darshened out bia, and now we're going to darshen out bishtar. We'll save that for tomorrow, and with this we conclude today's shiur.